Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how to go on a new journey, how to be able to set your sights for a more expanded view, how to be able to say, okay, I'm done with the world that I've been in. I'm done with my old experiences. It's now time to say I'm taking time for self. I'm looking at what's out there in a different way. I'm now seeing the world through different eyes. How can we do that these days when we say we have so much going on in our life and the world is chaos? I can't stop for 5 minutes. It's a do world. Well, there are going to be times when you're going to get off the track. The wheels are going to come off and you're going to set them to the side and you're going to say there has to be something so much more in this world. I really would love to find it and I'm going to sit here and wait until it shows up. Well, today my guest is Jane Ramsey. Her book is Vision Quest, A Journey to Happiness, and she will do exactly that. What we'll be talking about today is how do you walk the journey? How do you set it to the side? How are you opening up and engaging in things around you and saying, I never noticed that before, or I really want to see more magic and more mystical experiences in my life, and the alchemy is all out there? Give me my book. I'm ready to go and get started. Jane, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Dr. Jeanette, thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor. I love your show, and it's really great to be here with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Jane, don't you think sometimes we're going to reach that point where we're going to have to say, you know, the road has ended and I got to take the wheels off, right?
You are so right, Dr. Jeanette. Sometimes the universe hands us a situation and then we deal with it and say, okay, here we go. You know, in my vision quest, I was seeking meaning, answers to existential questions like, why are we here and what is the purpose of life?
Right.
And I really wanted to find out how scholars and learned people find answers. So that was, I was embarking on a journey kind of suddenly, and it turned out to be an awesome experience.
You know, I think sometimes we hit the wall and we say, is this a wall that I'm going to have a health condition? It's going to take me out. People are starting to have a lot more, as we would say, near-death experiences, or they're saying, I don't know what's going on. I lost my husband. I lost my job. My house burned down. I lost all my money, and my kids don't talk to me anymore. All of a sudden, well, what are we going to do now? I think many times people in several different decades of life have one or two of these, yet it seems over the past several years that people are having more and more of them in a shorter period of time. And it's almost as if the world and our souls are awakening to a point where they're saying, knock, knock, we're not going to put up with that stuff anymore. It's no more about the old tapes, the old habits, the old issues. It's time to shed them and go forward. Don't you think?
100%. I completely agree with what you say. And it, you know, what I have now begun to understand is that the universe sends us little signs all the time and little signals like pay attention, wake up. And if we ignore those, which I did for a long time, you know, then suddenly you get the bigger wake up call and something is really an impetus to say, okay, I'm going to now really have to examine some things and, you know, maybe start to take a minute, take a breath, and think about the purpose of my individual life. You know, what does it mean? What am I here to do?
You know, but if we look, Jane, at many decades in the past, I'm in my 60s and you're older also. I think if we look at it and we say our grandparents and other ancestors, they kind of just reached the age of 65 and they stayed home and they didn't do much and they just passed early. Now we're looking at, we're living till we're 100. We have so many more decades and yet we're still physically able to get up and go. What are we going to do? And we're not willing to be able to sit down and do it the old way. Do you think maybe it's just a process of history and where the collective is right now and where others are starting to have similar conversations? Because we couldn't have had this conversation even 20 years ago. There weren't enough people around to be able to engage in it, and we would be like, I'm not saying that. I'm not going to go on the crazy bus today, right?
You're so right. I do think, you know, I hear people, we're both in our 60s and we have a lot of similar, I think, childhood experiences. I know I've heard you say on your show, you played the organ in the Catholic Church and so did I. And, you know, it's so interesting now when I get together with, you know, people our age, it's like suddenly they have become way more interesting because they realize I've got a whole second act.
Right.
I've got maybe 30 more years, you know, to give something to the world and to reinvent myself. And it can be daunting, but it's also, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting to me because as I started to explore and think about purpose, you know, many teachers say that the purpose of an individual life is something like be all you can be.
Right.
And yet I also think it's about finding your own path to happiness. And I think, you know, I really struggled, and you could see it in the book, the size of the stage for the production of life is not the thing that matters. You know, one person can have a big impact and find joy and deep meaning just by, you know, interacting with their family and their neighbors and doing something in their community. So that was a big insight for me as I went through my vision quest year.
Don't you think also, too, the idea that we're no longer willing to just go to sit down in the afternoon, wine with the girls, and listen to conversations about others and be able to say, you know, all of these other words that are just not, they're not even valid anymore. It's almost like if you look at it, there used to be always that women would get together and talk about each other and help each other and everything. Well, now it's sort of like we're not even focused on self anymore. We're focused on other things, bigger things, grander things. We're not interested in why so-and-so can't do something and we should all band together and be able to fix it for her, you know, or, oh, well, you should leave your husband, get that kind of idea. That stuff's just not even important anymore. It's more, you really want to get together with someone that you can feel enlightened in versus being dragged back into the sump, don't you think?
I 100%. I really think that what you're saying is hitting on something right now. And I think that this urge is part of our evolutionary heritage. And what I appreciate is going beyond, like you were saying, going beyond the small talk to the tall talk.
Right.
And one of the things that has been surprising to me is, you know, somebody will read my book and then, you know, they're really opening up and talking about the story of their life. And it's not just the surfacey, you know, happy post kind of thing. They're talking about real things.
Yeah.
And, you know, suddenly it's, you know, you make yourself a little vulnerable, they make themselves a little vulnerable, and then it suddenly gets to be a very interesting conversation. And we realize that we have this urge to think about the ultimate adventure of our lives and to discover who we are, what the universe is, what the significance is of this brief drama of our life.
Right.
And then how does that play out? What is the larger story that we're here to do?
because I think, you know, almost if you look back on 1960s and 70s and 80s, it was all about the fluff, especially the 90s. It was, you know, how you project yourself, you know, that old thing, fake it till you make it. And, you know, you have to go up and how many of this, that, or the other can you, it was almost like a collection thing, you know. People had houses and lots of clothes and a lot of cars and a lot of degrees, you know, all that stuff. And I think now it's really shifted into how can you have less? It's almost a quest. How can you be a minimalist? And that's really chic now, you know. But also, too, the idea is that when you're able to see these things, are we really casting out the story of who we are in one way as we used to do? You know, this is what everybody saw on the outside. Now we're into the dialogue of what is the inside telling us? And how can we bring that forth? In other words, it really doesn't matter who your shoes are from, you know. It really matters about, you know, how are you going to be able to show up today? What are you feeling? Is there sadness or grief inside of you? And can we just sit here and hold your hand and that's enough? Versus, do we have to take you out and fix you, take you to a doctor, get you some drugs, you know? Hey, maybe a couple things of wine, and then we'll go out for a show, you know, that kind of idea. Such a big dichotomy between the two, isn't there?
Well, you said that beautifully. I love that. And yes, I do think there is something there. I lived through exactly what you're talking about in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. You know, I was accumulating, and I talk in the book about just how great it felt to declutter, de-shed, and, you know, downsize and really simplify my life. And everybody's path is unique, and, you know, no judgment against somebody who's in accumulation mode. I get it. And hey, I still, you know, love a great pair of shoes, but, you know, there really is something to that. And it's funny, you know, we've moved to California just in the past year, and I have all of these new neighbors and new friends, and they're great. And I hear them say, oh, you know, we have two homes. And I mean, there's nothing about that appeals to me.
I just
think, you know, I want the least stress possible related to my surroundings. I want them clean. I want them modern. I love cleaning the house in 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's amazing how cleansing that feels and how much space that gives you in your life when you start to get rid of your possessions. It's like, you know, for a while I was saying to my husband, it's like our possessions own us, not the other way around.
Right.
And, you know, somebody was asking us the other day, oh, did you bring both cars? And we said, we only have one car now.
I know.
And it's awesome. Yeah.
And I think it's also, too, about that which you choose to surround yourself with, you know. I live in New Orleans. I've lived here for decades. And truly, it's not about possessions here at all. It never has been. You know, people will say, what school did you go to? And they mean your high school. They're not interested in how many colleges you went to. They could care less. But when they ask what high school you went to, they knew what neighborhood you lived in, who your mother sat next to, and who everybody then, oh, they'll say, oh, then you must know so-and-so. You know, it engages a sense of connection and community versus holding yourself out and above and secular, you know, and this kind of, you know, tiering thing, you know, which way you're going up. I think the idea also, too, is that when you're, your book, again, Vision Quest, when you're on these journeys, you start realizing these little things that maybe in your past weren't so important and you kind of were making jokes out of it, but now you're realizing maybe that was really something and I really would love to go back to it. Don't you think you find yourself going full circle in some areas?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, finding art again in my life is such a gift. And now I'm free to be an artist and to really pursue that, you know, wonderful latent talent, you know, that's been buried since childhood, and to explore and to play. And I teach this class now called Soul Art Meditation. And so many people, you know, come to class and say, oh, I don't have an artistic bone in, in my body. And, right. you know, I say to them, you know, it's a birthright of being human to be creative. And yes, you are an artist. We are all artists. And it's so fun for me to watch them look at their art journal and watch how their talent manifests and, you know, see what's tangible on the page that they created. And, you know, it's thrilling for them. And they're often just shocked how, you know, what beautiful things they can create. And of course, it's really the process that's important versus
right.
what's on the page. But, you know, we have so much fun.
Yeah. And let's talk for a second about when things we think are going better and we're starting to shed and letting things go. And all of a sudden, it's another wall comes up, another thing that hits you, another life challenge. And we say, oh, it's showing up again. I think sometimes, you know, in the past we may have said that. But now I think we say, oh, what's in this for me? How can I help them? How can we work through this? That's really a bigger change of language. It really shifts the frequency, and it really makes the process so much different other than in the past. Oh, my gosh, it's horrible. It's this, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? And now when we are really looking at all of the players in what's going on and how we can assist them, I think we have a whole other concept and bag of tools, don't you think?
Agree completely. I think that's really true. And, you know, as people go deeper in their spiritual practice, whether it's meditation or prayer or, you know, whatever they choose to do to get to that place where they reach their inner guidance system, you know, suddenly what happens is you just have more ability to cope and to take on what life brings. And I do see patterns in the lessons, the life lessons that keep
right.
coming up over and over again. And you can say, okay, I've dealt with this in the past. I can deal with this now. And I'll be able to deal in a resilient way in the future. And I, one time, one of my teachers said to me, the hardest prayer, the most difficult prayer to really surrender to is thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things will come up in life and you just have to realize that you can always choose to respond at the highest level to whatever comes up. So, you know, that was a good lesson for me. And I do find that when I'm really regular with my practice, I'm really resilient to those things that come up in life. And I think that's true for my students as well.
I think also, too, I mean, you know, myself with husbands, you know, and we always laugh at this on the show. We're good with this. But, you know, that old thing, there was a time period when they said, well, if you have more than one, it's always you're the one that's the problem and you're the one that's the situation. I'll say, absolutely not. It's just the reverse. Look at all of the people that I helped and look at all the people that helped me and all the lessons we learned. It doesn't matter. And I think sometimes we get stuck in, are the old habits, the old ways really enforced and ingrained in us to hold us back in a way? In other words, there's so many women that would say, would really would love to, you know, change husbands. I'm done with this story. I'm done with this saga. I'm on to the next. But then they find that there's reasons or rules that hold them back from doing that. So I think that's almost binding women in elder age, and they're not able to be as creative or be as free or open as they would love to be. I think sometimes we say, do I need a change? Can I explore something else in self, and how can that come about? It may take a change of husband. It may take a change of job. It may take a change of location, or it might just change your perspective. Yes?
Yes, I think all of those things you said are true. And, you know, I think when people are in greater touch with their own higher guidance, then the right next step just comes. And they seem to know, okay, you know, I made a mistake here. You know, now can I just tune into my intuition to really understand what is the right next step for me? And maybe you can't see the whole path, but your headlights, you know, are shining on the next step that you should take. And, you know, that's a comfort, I think, when people feel like, okay, my gut is really pretty good and I'm making good choices for me right now. And I think that, you know, when people get to that stage where they trust their inner knowing, mm-hmm. then, you know, that starts to feel like, okay, all right, whew, you know, that's a relief.
Right. Let's talk for a second about the idea you share in your book. You know, you've also come up across the question, is who am I? You know, I have had many times in my life where who am I? It was blatant. It was in college in the 70s. I had an assignment to write a paper on who am I for my philosophy class at a Jesuit college. And then I had it again another time when I was in between. And then I had it another time at naturopathic medical school. And it was like, okay, what the heck is this? Then I come up with it, you know, in the years, you know, 2010, and it's who am I again? And it's going, okay, are we just recreating self and we're just changing the story? Or are we just learning that we are evolving? I think many times when the word who am I comes up, it's not to say that I had it right or I had it wrong. It's to be able to relish the moment, to reflect in retrospect, but also, too, to open up to going forward. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think who am I is one of the most foundational questions in, you know, anybody that's a seeker or anybody that wants to explore a little bit more about their own, you know, their own purpose. And you said that very well, but you know, who am I questions have evolved over time, absolutely. You know, some of my ego answers are still the same. I'm still Jane Ramsey. I'm still, you know, a wife, you know, but I used to be a corporate executive. Now I'm an artist. Now I'm a teacher. I'm a student once again in life. And so, you know, the answers really evolve. And I ask myself that question in meditation twice a day, every single day. Who am I is part of my practice.
Right.
And you know, today I might really, who am I might really be, hey, I'm fulfilled, I'm happy, you know, I'm creating, I'm, you know, and some days who am I might be, you know what, I really feel like I really dropped the ball in that situation and, you know, I didn't really do everything, I didn't respond at the highest level to that situation. And so, you know, I mean, who am I? Can be an emotion, it can be your ego answers, you know, it can be your soul answers. And what I have loved recently is this feeling that, you know, my who am I answers are recognition of the divine in me, of the spiritual nature that we all have, and saying, you know, there's part of my essence that is eternal, that is ongoing, that is connected to source. You know, I feel that sense of oneness with everybody and with the universe. And I know that sounds a little bit new agey, but you do really have those feelings mm-hmm. and you realize that who am I is so much more, you know, I am not my body. I am not my mind. I am connected to something much bigger. And I think
right.
that's the really comforting part of, you know, having a regular spiritual practice.
You know, I've always said in the past, and it's so interesting because just as you, all the professions we've done, all the things we've done and places we've been in, you know, being an open seeker, you're really of a collection, you know? And what I find is, you know, when I meet people sometimes, they will say, well, you know, they will have that inquisitive, who are you? Kind of idea, asking me. And I almost look at them and my soul says immediately, who is the you or the I that you are wishing to engage in? In other words, I can kind of like look and I'm like, I don't think you're quite ready to hear this part of it. What would you like to know? Would you like to know the past things that I did or the things I'm doing now? Or maybe what's, you know, in my thoughts or my esoteric kind of being. Don't you think you find that when you are engaging with people that there's so many different levels, we really truly have to hone in on what is the part of it that you wish to engage in with another person? Because otherwise, it seems to fall flat, the conversation. It seems to see, it almost feels as if, oh, I just need to walk away from this kind of idea. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. Well, I'm an extreme introvert. And so my whole life, you know, I've really struggled with, I can do small talk now because, you know, after all those years of corporate life, I learned. But I don't typically do well in those kinds of conversations. And, you know, something I have appreciated just since the book has come out is people are having more real conversations with me.
Right.
And it's not just the surfacey, you know, ego answers. You know, sometimes it's an actual kind of fulfilling conversation that gets to something real. And it's not just about the weather and, you know, where'd you go to college?
Right. You know, although sometimes I really honor the ones that say about the weather, because that says to them and myself that they're not ready for what I might have to say,
right,
but they still would like to have a conversation. So
sometimes we
have to talk about the weather, don't we?
Sometimes we do, yes.
Right.
And especially in New Orleans during hurricane season, right?
I know. But it definitely truly makes a difference because we're able to say we're not willing to go down those old roads anymore. It's not willing to cast shame, blame, guilt. It's not willing to say, I should have, would have, could have. I don't believe in mistakes. There are no mistakes. Everything has a purpose and it's all glorious. And even I think sometimes when people will say, but I'm having such a hard time, and I'll say, fantastic, let's sit down and talk about it. And they're going, what? Why is it fantastic? I said, because now you're willing to be open and to be able to want to be able to share. Isn't that sometimes the people that are really looking for that outreach or that opening, or they'll say, I read something in your book or I heard something on the radio, you know, just as your book, Vision Quest, they could say, you know, I read something there. Can I tell you my story? Can I share with you in a vulnerable way? Can I be honest and have my words stay right here? I think that that's what people are looking for in true essence, don't you think?
I think what you just said is really inspiring, and I do think that, you know, people are seeking meaning, and they're seeking, you know, that resonance. And, you know, I often, when people come to me to say, you know, can you help me, you know, get to a better place, I ask themselves, you know, what have you done today that has nurtured mind, body, and spirit? And, you know, you can make progress in some simple, really simple ways. You know, His Holiness Dalai Lama says, how do you create peace? Smile at your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you take a few minutes and just drop into silence? It doesn't have to be a formal meditation, but, you know, that will nurture your mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
So, you know, I often talk to people about whether they have any kind of daily meditation or other contemplative practice, or do they have, you know, some aspect of creativity that they engage in, which is to me about the same as meditation. And I host a free online 30-minute group meditation on Wednesday afternoons, and you know, it's really fun to see who shows up for that. You know, it's just people can join from anywhere. And then, you know, we start and stop on time, but people often stick and then, you know, talk a little bit about their life or something they're going through. And I always appreciate when people really do open up and say what's going on for them.
Right. I think also, too, the idea as, you know, being an artist, once you open up a creative venue or a meditative one, it truly takes people on a journey that sometimes people will say, I'm not ready for. And they will really go into, you know, anxiety, depression. They might have issues of a whole lot of pain and struggle that they're starting to feel. And it's almost, I would always say, as I share with them, I says, that's absolutely the place we want to go to. It's that which you've kept hidden. And I think when we say, are we willing to open the doors to our soul, because it really is not all cotton candy and daisies, it might be a sump pump and it might be a hole and it might be the black hole. I think sometimes people will say, well, I'm going to keep the door shut for fear. And then they live a life of fear, and then that fear gets recreated each time because they'll always say, see, I told you, I shouldn't have done that, I told you, you know, that kind of thing. And they live their life within this paradigm that is almost they've walled themselves off. Do you think sometimes, I've always shared and I've said to clients, is that when you can get out and you touch and you feel pain, then you'll say, oh, that was what it was. I thought it was something else. Or fear. Oh, my gosh, I thought you were going to take me out, but all you were was something in the ether. I think when we can touch and feel these, that's when we really have the astronomical change where we say, ah, now I'm starting to get it. Who's in control? Who's not? And who's driving my bus? Don't you think we decide to say, where is this bus going and who's driving it, is the change when we start opening up our creative self?
That's my belief also. And, I think that people hold the remote control to their life. And if there's something that they don't like about their life, they have the power to change it. And, you know, I struggle in the book. You probably saw the story of my sister that was in the book, and she was extremely troubled. And, you know, all of the other siblings in my family, you know, we tried so hard to work with her on her fears, on her, you know, anxiety, on her depression, and her thinking, which was all about, you know, focusing on what she didn't have and focusing on the lack and focusing
right.
on the things that she was afraid of. And, you know, she really wasn't willing to open the door very far or for very long. And, you know, it's painful when people are in that place. But I also think, you know, some incarnations are very challenging. And people, you know, maybe they've chosen to experience certain things in this life. And even though I think we have the free choice to change those things, you know, it's hard to understand some of the mysteries about why people experience the things they do. I think we do have choice and we can make positive changes.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we say what's coming up for us and then we have these challenges, it's truly our soul has chosen a path. But we believe that it's our head and our ego and our mind that is really choosing it. In essence, it's really our soul has something already all planned out and we're just walking through it. I think also, too, that when we talk about making changes in our life, again, your book, Jane, Vision Quest, A Journey to Happiness, when you share very explicitly your walk through life over a great period of time, you know, almost a year, and you say, this is what's happened today, this is what's showing up for me today, and you're very vulnerable and honest about it. Many times we ask people to write their story, and they will sit down and they will write it and candy coat it and maybe, you know, create something that isn't really the truth. Don't you think sometimes when we say, can we be honest and vulnerable and write it down, then it's sort of like, now it's out of the woods and now I'm good to go.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because for me, writing the book was therapy. And I am really detached from the outcome because I think I've already gotten the benefit from
right.
the book. That daily recapitulation of sitting down and honestly trying to assess the day and saying, you know, what happened today? And,
right.
you know, what did I learn? And one of the things that shocked me was how much happiness and joy there really were, even in the midst of daily drama, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the chaos that can come up in life. And I started to thematically just kind of note that, you know, things are really pretty good even when they're not.
Right.
Or when outwardly it would appear that way. And,
yeah.
and so, you know, I really loved that discipline for that time, you know, of sticking with the journal and just seeing, you know, what would come up.
Yeah, I think that's so important when we're able to say, can we write something down and let it pass and then see how the next day creates itself instead of always dragging the old baggage. You know, I always tell people when they're writing to be able to, you know, write it down for that page. And then when you're finished writing for the day, tie a bow around your notebook, put a rubber band around it, close it. In other words, that memory is already now in the past. Let it be. And then for the next day, start a new page. And I think that's truly what you're saying. We've already been through that. We've already worked through that, and we're moving on. And your book, Jane, is really a great process of how you did it. And I think going forth in the new year, we could definitely challenge women to say, can you start something to see exactly where you are, how you are changing? And when you look at the back as a year, you could say, wow, I have changed so much just by doing this process, because I never realized just how really cool I am, just how great I have things. Or it could also say, you know, I'm really having a hard time, and this is wonderful because I can still stand up today. So it truly is about both ends of the paradigm. I think we want to really acknowledge that, because a lot of people have very difficult lives, but they're still standing, and we really want to celebrate every moment. Yes?
Yes, you said it beautifully. I do. I think everybody's path is unique, and I think when you watch how it unfolds as though it's a story,
right?
You know, and then you can begin to see the larger story of your life. And you know, often people who are our age are saying, you know, I'm not clear on my purpose at this moment in life. And when you start to pay attention in that way, mm-hmm. you know, you start to see what brings you joy and
right.
fulfillment, and those things where you just, you know, time just flows, and you start to say, huh, maybe that has something to do with what I'm meant to do right now, the way
right.
I'm supposed to serve.
Yeah, and your way to serve is to show up in the day. Just show up. You know, a lot of times people are looking for this grand word, this grand purpose, and they miss the joy of the day today. You know, I mean, you have today. What are you? If you keep seeking and seeking outside, and you forget about the moment of the present, you really kind of get stuck in this paradigm of never being able to fully appreciate the sun today, the stars today, the blister on your foot today, you know, or your friends not calling, or you know, it's storming or whatever it might be. Those are your purpose, to engage in those moments. And I think when we can truly see that, that's really taking into the soul concept of our deep energetic being. Yes?
Beautifully said.
Well, it's a journey, Jane. We all have to learn, right? And we
for sure.
And what we learn is that our story doesn't always have to coincide with yours or mine. It can just be able to say, you're using our words, our templates, and saying, oh, cool, I'm going to journey along with it and listen. Maybe it'll open up something for me, and you go off in a totally different direction, right?
Yes. I love that people get inspired and then find their own path.
Right. Yes, we're not looking for followers. We're looking for people to open their hearts, and that's so much different. Yes,
I like the way you said that.
You know, it's kind of a hard thing to be, because so many people want to say, "I want what you have." No, you want how I reflect to be reflected in you, and I think they'll find that. Don't you think so?
I do. I really think that everybody's path is so unique, and it's so beautiful how different we all are. And you know, one of the things in soul art meditation class, we really spend a lot of time on, you know, your uniqueness, your gifts and talents, the things that you are bringing to this life, and you know, all of those things that you can explore that make you uniquely you.
Right.
And that you have these gifts that can be expressed in this way. And it's so fun to me when, you know, let's say we have an assignment, you know, and we're just each expressing gratitude, you know, and we do it through our artwork, and then we show, you know, what we've come up with. It's all so different.
Right.
And it's
right.
like, oh, that's how you see gratitude. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, I love how differently, you know, it's like we all have our inner kaleidoscope. And, you know, we're creating all of these beautiful patterns of life you know, in our own way.
Yes, it's such a different journey. Well, Jane, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. The best way is to go on my website, which is jramseyvisionquest.com.
Very good. Well, Jane, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today, to be able to share in the journey for the new year. And I think to be able to find your book, Vision Quest, you'll be able to say, I can follow along and I can see how it can inspire me. Yes?
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Jane Ramsey, her book is Vision Quest, A Journey to Happiness. Please do check on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information to go directly to her website. And it truly is about being able to say, we are now in the beginning of the new year. What would we like to create for ourselves? How can we start to open up? 2020 is the year of the mythical woman. It is a time to say, you know what? There's so much more out there. Please unleash me. Let me shed. Let me get out there. And I want to engage in everything that's around me. How can we support each other? How can we see and be so creative as our soul is joining us together to be able to open up to? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.